Music has no boundaries, my friend.
Okay, all right.
Isn't his real last name Williams?
I'm looking out for people.
I think his name's Stevie Williams, actually. His real name.
Well, there's always one way to find
out. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. I'm the Phelps. He's the Baskin. Menigan's flying the ship today. Hody's taking your phone calls. 216-474-0092. Guardians are playing today. It's game three against those pesky Tigers. They're going to throw 17 guys today. And we're hoping that a guy who has pitched 16 and a third innings has healthy enough fingers to give you four or five good ones today. And that's Alex Cobb.
Not Steve Lind Hardaway Morris.
But is that his name? Stevie Morris?
Steve Lind is his real name.
Steve Lind. It's not Williams. It's Morris?
It's Morris.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good. Well, good.
Much like Tigers pitcher and Indians pitcher, Jack Morris.
Jack Morris. Let's go bring in the crop.
This according to our good friends at Wikipedia.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
So if it's wrong, you blame them.
Alex Cobb will be starting game three for the Guardians. Alex Cobb, former teammate of Stephen Vogt. Is that a factor here? Is that why Alex Cobb is getting the start? Because he and Stephen have history and Stephen trusts him. Should it be Joey Cantillo? Should it be Gavin Williams? Or should it be a guy who has pitched in three games as a Guardian and has gone 16 and a third innings and hasn't pitched since September 1st?
And if you want to feel better, I was perusing the interwebs and just was reminded by our good friends at the News Herald, Jeff Shadell, it's been over 4,000 days since he's pitched in a playoff game. Just if you're keeping score.
2013. And he's only pitched in two. So if you're looking for the playoff experience, he has more than Cantillo.
No, that's true. Yeah.
He has more than Gavin Williams.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I'm good with the start.
What do you think? Are you okay? And yes. Folks, are you okay with Alex Cobb? 216-474-0092?
I mean, he's looked good in the three games that he's pitched, right? Other than the fact that we've got to find a new manicurist for his nails and for what's going on with blood blisters and stuff and his hand. So I'm just saying, I have no problem. Again, the goal here is to have someone go 4 to 5 innings. Can he go 4 to 5 innings? My answer is yes, and move forward. Let's not forget that the Guardians pitching, with the exception of one inning, has completely dominated Detroit in this series. They've scored in one inning in two full games. So let's keep the domination going. I feel confident in him. I like having somebody who's got some seasoning going into this thing. And hey, let's go for it. I still like the Guardians today. Especially, you look at Detroit and you're like, well, who are you throwing today? And they know. I'm sure they know already. But it's like you're going to throw a bullpen game and you're going to hide out until the last second before you let us know. What time do they have to let anyone know who's pitching today, who's starting? Like 2 o'clock? I think it's like it only has to be a few hours before the game.
And I'm sure they'll get that.
And that's what it was. I mean, that's what it was going into. I'm trying to remember somebody had a game the other day, and it was like, are they going to announce a starter? And they're like, no, you don't have to.
I wonder how it affects Stephen Vogt's philosophy of, I'm going to put together a lineup to beat the starter, to go against a bullpen game. If he did that last game, it certainly worked.
It did, yeah.
5 runs without getting an out. That certainly worked. But is that philosophy or, how does that work there? I think that's interesting.
Plus, if Cobb doesn't work and you can see it in the first inning, just pull the plug. It's not that hard. It becomes a bullpen game for the Guardians. You had a day off yesterday. Everybody's rested. You have a full pen. You're good. Let's go.
You think?
Yeah, I think they need to be the I can't worry about what Detroit's doing or not doing at this point. I know you want to sit here and figure out who you're throwing against. And you can, Univac can spit out a lineup for you in 2 seconds. Based on whoever they decide to start today, right? It'll go through all the analytics. It'll tell you everything you need to know. It'll spit out your lineup, and you don't probably need it until, 5 minutes before the game.
So, in other words,
or whenever you have to.
In other words, our manager doesn't have to think? Is that what you're saying?
How many managers in Major League Baseball do?
I don't know.
I think he managed the game the other day. Where else are you going to get your, unless you've got analytics yelling down the hallway, 4 outs, doesn't matter. Just go put your closer out there. He's the best in the game. To me, that felt like a total gut move, right? We're all on the same page. Did that feel like an analytics move? Would analytics have told him to throw Clase at the end of the game for four outs? I don't know.
In four September starts, the Guardians won three of four Joey Cantillo starts. I'm just completely playing devil's advocate here. I haven't told you yet what I would have done here as far as who's going to be my starting pitcher. Three of four. They won three of his last four starts. So he's been pretty good, right? Kind of like that. Do you not?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah, I mean, you know how I felt about Cantillo going to the playoffs. I wanted him ready to go. I would have started him in the series, but that's me.
Gavin Williams.
I'm a gambling guy.
You are. Gavin Williams made five September starts. The Guardians won one of those five starts.
Cantillo's last start was a little shaky, though.
Yes, it was. You're going with Alex Cobb, the guy who has pitched 16 and a third innings. And I would do exactly the same thing.
I would, too. So we're sitting here, and we're like trying to second-guess something that hasn't happened yet.
No, we're just talking about it, Andy.
Dan, would you?
Hell yeah!
Okay, good. We're all on the same page.
Dan's a big Alex Cobb fan.
I'm an Alex Cobb guy, though.
Yeah, I'm good with it, too. As long as his nails are good, he's good.
You put some of that horse hoof stuff on it. That'll take care of it.
How about the potato? It works for bowlers.
I don't know about that. Well, that's a bowler. That's not nail, isn't that?
Yeah, but if it's nail, skin, it's all that same thing. Lots of vitamins. Like, I hear potatoes are also good for migraines, too.
Mike is in North Olmsted.
Yes.
Hello, Mike.
Huh. That's awesome.
Gentlemen.
You eat them or you rub it on the outside of your head?
No, you rub them on the outside of your head. You cut them up, you put them on your forehead, and then maybe take like a bandana, and then it's supposed to be good for migraines.
There you go,
gentlemen,
Mike.
Thank you for calling.
On that note, Mike, talk baseball.
Yes.
Hey, Guardians playoff Wednesday baseball. Does it get any better than that on a Wednesday morning?
I don't know that it does.
Yeah, when?
I'll tell you what. I have absolutely no doubt that Cobb is going to go in and do the job that he needs to do. Doesn't matter who they put up. The confidence and the coolness that Vogt has instilled in this club right now. Looking over at the other ALDS series, let's win today. Let's get Bibby out there to close it out tomorrow or game four, and let's go up potentially against whoever. It doesn't really matter because we already faced the toughest pitcher we're going to face on our path to the World Series. I'll listen, guys. Have a great playoff game.
All right, Mike. Thank you very much. Jim Bibby not starting for the Guardians coming up in this series. Thank you. But Tanner Bibee might. I still wonder about this a little bit. You guys tell me. If you had your choice of Alex Cobb or Ben Lively, and the Guardians did, and they chose Alex Cobb and left Ben Lively off the playoff roster, he made five starts in September. They went 3-2 in those five starts. And he went five innings in only two of those starts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems to me like Ben maybe pushed the envelope this year. You know, he's not been extended like he's been extended this year. And I wonder if maybe he just has kind of run out of gas. If they advance, I'll bet he's on the roster, and I'll bet we see him make a start.
Yeah, I get it. If you're going to play in a best of five, and you may have a solid, rock solid fourth starter, but you feel like your bullpen has. You're in a better situation with your bullpen.
Your nails than you bullpen.
Are. Yeah, so why? It's okay. I mean, the problem is you're the fourth starter. That's the issue. It's nothing personal. It's just they don't. If it was a best of seven, you would probably be there, but it's not. It's a best of five. So, like, you know, and I appreciate everything he did. I mean, that was the guy that held this thing together when the ship was taking on water and right. So, and I'm sure the team appreciates it too. But, you know, unfortunately, when you're the fourth starter in a best of five, and you feel like your bullpen can give you more help than a guy who's normally a starter, then you stay with the bullpen.
I would think that that's exactly what you do. How short is the Alex Cobb leash today?
It can be as short as you want because you have such a good bullpen. It's a luxury. If the Guardians want to look at this as a bullpen game, they can turn very, very quickly and do that.
The one thing I do like here, and again, of all the options we laid out, I would start Alex Cobb. I think that's the way to go. You brought him here to pitch in games like this. And that's why he's here. You didn't bring him in you thought this guy can help us get there, which you could make the argument he really hasn't. But once he gets there, and that's because of injury. He's only pitched in three games. But once you get there, that's the guy you want on the mound. I'm all good with that. If there are issues, you can bring in Gavin Williams, and he can give you five innings. You could bring in Joey Cantillo. If he has it going, he could give you five innings. And then you get to the back end of the bullpen. That could work. That could work. Now, will it work? 216-474-0092. Love your thoughts as the Guardians getting ready to play Game 3 against the Tigers in a best of five. Folks, it's going to be fun. This is fantastic. That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Menigan flying our ship today. Hody taking your phone calls, 216-474-0092. Guardians Game 3. Taking on the Tigers. It's a best of five. I hate that. Alex Cobb starting today. I like that. Jack is in Solon. Hello, Jack.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Jack.
I agreed about starting Cobb, but it really doesn't matter. You can really essentially consider this a bullpen game. I mean, look, Boyd pitched shutout ball, was magnificent, and he only pitched, what, 4 2/3, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Didn't even give up. He wasn't even close to giving it. Well, he was in a couple of jams, but was pitching shutout ball. And that's all we're hoping to get out of Cobb today. Four innings, five innings before he gets a blister. But that's all we're hoping. It's essentially a bullpen game. And one other thing. Please play Kyle Manzardo. What are you doing with having him sit on the bench when he's our hottest hitter? Right-handed, left-handed pitcher, I don't care. You don't leave him on the bench and put Christmas in right field when he can't hit anything. Please play Kyle Manzardo the rest of this series. I beg of you.
Jack, thank you very much. Appreciate it, buddy. What do you think of that?
I wish I knew who was starting today. That would make me feel a little bit better for Detroit, but I agree with him on Manzardo. I was kind of looking for him the other day, and I was like, oh, that's right, they're not going to throw. They're not going to hit him here. I think he's right. I mean, Manzardo is on fire going into this thing. I understand why they do what they do, but, I mean, for a team that really struggles to hit and he's hitting, lefty, righty, does it really matter?
Okay, let me bounce this one off you.
Okay.
If he starts, David Fry doesn't. David's not going to play a position.
Okay.
If they start a righty, I get it. If they start a lefty, does that matter to you?
Not the way he's hitting lately. I mean, he's been on a roll, but now he hasn't swung a bat in, what, 2 weeks? Right? I mean, he did have one at bat the other day. So I throw him back in the lineup, too. I agree with him on that. I was contemplating that.
Lefty or righty?
It doesn't matter. He's hot. Does it really matter?
Are you hot if you haven't played in 11 days?
I don't know. You were hot going into this thing, so why wouldn't you think that you can continue to play that way?
He hit 270 after he got called back up.
He was hot.
And had some pop.
Yes.
Any other lineup things you would do? I would stick with, if I'm vote, how do I beat the starting pitcher? It worked in game one. And it didn't work against Skubal. Not much has worked against Skubal this year. You had him in trouble a couple of times. Couldn't do it because of the double plays. If I'm Stephen Vogt, I'm sticking with the same philosophy. If they start a left-hander today, I'm going to start David Fry. And I'm probably putting John Kenzie Noel back out in right field. And I know he's had some issues. One swing, that guy can change the game.
I mean, I know they're not going to see Skubal today, but the bottom of the lineup after Naylor was 0 for 11 in game two with 5 strikeouts.
You have only four guys on the team who have two hits so far in the first two games.
Yeah, I mean, they got to get the – I mean, not that Detroit's offense has been any better with the exception of one swing. Well, two swings before that, one swing after. But why do I always second-guess myself? With the exception of one half of an inning. They need to get something going here, and I thought that coming into this thing that Manzardo is definitely somebody you need to look at to make sure you're getting him at bats. Over Fry, I'm okay with it.
But that's been.
And I think Fry's hurt too. I mean, he can't catch. He can't.
He can't play a position.
No,
apparently, I mean, because of his
right.
That's been injury. This team all season, though. Like, you've gone into every single game going, okay, shortstop is going to be a defense first. We hope for the best. You know, it seems when big moments are needed, Brian Rocchio can get a knock for you, but everywhere in between there is kind of, eh.
Isn't that strange, by the way?
Catching is the same exact problem. As much as you like Bo Naylor and he gives you a little bit of pop there, you're still in the same thing, whether you put Bo Naylor out there or you put Austin Hedges out there. That's kind of been how this team has been constructed, is the bottom of the lineup is always going to be the part where you pray and light holy candles and hope that one of them could draw a walk or
that's what you got. I mean, you were 1-for-14 after Naylor in the lineup.
Your catchers don't have a hit, but it's only two games.
But you've got, especially if you're going to start Cobb, you are going to have a starter who puts the ball in play. Heavy ground ball pitcher. So you want to have a guy like Rocchio playing shortstop who is a borderline gold glove shortstop.
You're not going to take him out, period. I mean, he's your shortstop. That's where this is right now.
So not to mention, you love how Bo Naylor is called games. You love how Austin Hedges is called
except
games.
For maybe one slider.
Framing, oops, all that kind of
did
good stuff.
Did he actually made the call?
Apparently it was Bo Naylor.
Bo said, let's go slider again?
Stephen Vogt said, I'm not going to get involved in that because that's... It's not his area, which I thought was interesting.
But so this is life. You're looking at the top seven guys in that lineup and going, all right, boys, we need you. Let's go. Because the bottom two are cross your fingers and pray.
You can't judge
I think it's the bottom four. You know,
honestly, from an offensive standpoint, guys, it's two games. You can't judge anything on two games. You just can't do it, especially when you're going up against Skubal.
But that's the way... But that's we always look at the playoffs like that. You have to judge. You have to look
for
and
instance,
say,
is Jose Ramirez 14? Having a bad series?
No,
he's 1-for-6.
I'm not worried about Jose Ramirez.
I'm not either, except he's 1-for-6. So if we're gonna look at it, two games is way too short of a sample size to say anybody's not hitting or blah 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 blah. It just is. But that's what baseball has given us. That's what baseball's given us here.
I like it. I'm okay with it. I like, you know what?
I don't like it
at
all.
I love the pressure of this five-game series.
It's why you stick with what you know. It's why you stick with what you do.
Exactly.
It's because you look at it and you're like, it's two games. What do you want?
If I'm Stephen Vogt, I'm sticking completely with my philosophy that got me there all year.
I'm not panicking.
We just try to beat the starter.
He didn't. He went to Cossé in the eighth. He didn't stay with what he had.
I was talking lineup there.
Okay. Well,
sorry.
I'm just saying general overall. Okay.
Right. Lineup, I'm sticking exactly with what I've done all year. You've been challenged offensively all year, yet... The minute that you've slumped, you've been able to snap out of it and come back. I admire what he's done there by managing it well. But it will be interesting to see what he does at DH, depending on who's the guy. And it'll be interesting to see what he does in right field. Bill's in Parma. Hello, Bill.
Hey, you guys.
Hey.
Thanks for talking baseball. I appreciate it. You know, the other day when they had a runner on third base and there's less than two out.
It meant on first and third, right?
Yeah. Right. And, you know, the game of baseball has many facets, and all of us were taught all the different facets of baseball. You know, Skubal is a great pitcher. I think what we were batting about 100 against him. The fact that we have a guy on at bat who's probably not going to get a hit, chances are, and you have a left-hand pitcher with his back to third base, perfect time for a suicide squeeze. Perfect. And if they would have been able to just get the ball down and have a one-run game, then Class A is perfect for that type of situation. I don't understand why baseball and listen, I love Vogt. God bless him. I mean, he's done a great job. But I never understand these type of situations in which this is part of the game, should have been used. All you have to do is get the ball down.
David Fry was the batter at the time.
Still, you know.
He handles the bat pretty well.
He does.
Right. He had Rocchio on third. He had Kwan on first. And
yep.
He let Fry hit away, and it was the 6-4-3.
And you know, and with a guy like him also, the pitching, I mean, you've got – I mean, listen, when – again, I apologize, but, you know, Lou Brock stole 7 stolen bases in one World Series one time. And why not? Why not do things to kind of mix things up a little bit? But that's what I would have done that time.
Bill, Bill, thank you. The one thing about that game, Andy, and we talked about it going into it, and then yesterday we played, you know, let's second guess Stephen Vogt, and we really couldn't. But Bill's point is one that we debated – You know, you had David Fry at the plate. You didn't bunt. My thought going into the game, and I had said this, you got to play for one run all game long. You got to play for one run every time. You could make the argument that they did because they let David Fry hit, but might have been out of character to just try and play for that one run. However, circumstances with Scooble on the mound might have called for that. It's fun stuff. And now we're about 4 hours away from game time.
He made some
game
moves.
We talked all about him yesterday. They just didn't work. And you lost the baseball game to the best pitcher, starting pitcher in baseball, and the best relief pitcher in baseball. Had a tough go of it.
Yeah. Tropical Storm and I were out last night grabbing a bite to eat, and there were some people sitting around the bars. We were just kind of waiting for food. And they were like, oh, Jose Mesa game. Oh, I'm just like, come on, guys. It's not that bad.
Well, it's because it wasn't a game seven.
Well, maybe
that's
why. Or a game
five in this case. Otherwise, it's that and more.
You give him the ball back today, right? No one has confidence in you. Okay, I just want to make sure
we're
all good with that.
I might think about not giving it to him in the eighth, though.
If he gets in trouble?
Depends on the game, though.
Are you flipping the rotation on so you feel like you might have somebody who's ready to go in case things go sideways with the first two batters with him? I don't think you can do that. I think you got to let him play out, even if he struggles with one or two batters going for a save. Are you with me on this? Are you following along with what I'm saying?
I think.
I'm just, they didn't have anybody up the other day, too. It wasn't like they were going to somebody
else.
That's
their guy, man.
And I got to be honest, I don't know if I would have anybody up again today, but you can't stomach a loss.
The tough situation there is you brought him into us, and again, we all understand why. But you brought him into a situation that he's not used to. Okay, you brought him into trouble. You brought him in with guys on base. He gave up a ball that probably should have been a base hit, but Stephen Kwan made a great play on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like somebody smashed the ball, at least not until Carpenter.
Man,
and he smashed that ball. One. He smashed that one. You don't go away from Class A. You don't go away from a bullpen that's been nails all year. In fact, Vogt had some thoughts about the bullpen as you head into game three of this series. It's cut number five from Stephen Vogt. We'll hear it in moments.
You make it sound like you're teeing up a record.
I thought we're playing
the hits. Here's cut number five.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Stephen Vogt with cut number five. You don't go away from that bullpen. You don't go away from Class A. You do what you have to do. And if Alex Cobb can give you five today and you get to the bullpen, great. I'd prefer that Cobb not give you a two or three, Andy. Then you've got a decision to make.
Yeah,
you're going to go Cantillo. You're going to go Gavin Williams. You're going to go Eli Morgan. What are you going to do?
I'm going to worry about it when I get there. Right now, I mean, and he's got everybody ready. I think it's interesting, though, that he said, I trust these guys whether they're up against a righty or a lefty. Do you have the same philosophy when it comes to hitting? That you'll put a righty up there against a righty or a lefty. Like
he's kind of managed platoon in certain spots all year, right field in particular. Center field a little bit, just a little from time to time. But you're putting Lane Thomas out there now. He's going to be in center field.
I'm not taking him.
You're going to go Brennan, or you're going to go Noel in right field. It's going to be. Or you could go Tyler. You could go Thomas in right field and put Tyler Freeman in center, but he's dinged up, so maybe he's out. So Angel Martinez taking his spot. Would you put Martinez in? He played well when he came up. Downtown Tommy is downtown.
What's up, Tommy?
Conveniently named.
You guys are the best, by the way. And your analyst of the Guardians has just been impeccable.
Thank
you. The one thing that I kind of thought about after the game is, and no one's really talked about it, when he pinch hit for Hedges and put Brennan in, I thought about it afterwards. I thought, maybe that's why Class 8, I mean, one, we don't really know who made the call for that pitch. And again, we're really picking here. I mean,
absolutely.
It's hard to win a game when you don't score any runs. But I would have liked to have Hedges in that ninth inning, and maybe not a pinch hit. for a lot of reasons. One, you had a runner on third, and maybe Class A doesn't feel real comfortable throwing that ball a little lower with Naylor. You know, just maybe want to comment on that. And I'm excited for today. I'm also a little excited to see the fans there in Detroit. I mean, they haven't had a playoff game. Was it 10 years, guys?
14, yeah, 10 years.
Wow.
And Tommy, their season just changed like crazy. You know, I mean, they weren't even on the radar, and then they just got hot, and they played really well, and obviously that's continued. And they've give A.J. Hinch credit. He's managed the heck out of that team, like Stephen Vogt has managed the heck out of our team.
Well, you know, we were playing them, and I remember it was in July, and they traded Flaherty, and they traded another good player. They were ready to maybe even trade the guy that pitched. I forget his name. The guy that pitched. So they were thinking about trading away some of their players, and then they got hot.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about a comeback? And you know, you're always afraid to play a hot team. It's kind of no different than the Padres. You know, they're a hot team. I mean, I think the Dodgers are, but you know, the Dodgers aren't playing well. You know, the thing is, if we can get in, the Yankees aren't playing well. But I think you guys will agree. This is a key game, right?
Got to have it, Tommy, because you know you don't want to see Scooble again in the series, and you will, you know, if it gets extended. So there you go, Tommy. Thank you.
Thank you, Downtown Tommy.
Downtown Tommy.
Uptown Jeff.
Like that.
Uptown Jeff?
Sure, why not?
What do you think?
No, I don't know.
Tigers have announced that Keider Montero will get the start for today. Keider Montero.
A rookie pitcher who has been really had some really good moments for them, actually. And I would assume, Dan, you tell me, I would assume A.J. Hinch is thinking that's more than just an opener.
No, that's 3 innings. Well, he's looking at that kid going, if I get 3 innings out of him,
okay, but that's,
life is good.
But that's okay. To me, in this day and age, an opener means you're pitching one, maybe two, and you're getting, you know, and then you're going to get to the long man who might give you three or four.
Yeah,
Montero could go deep if they wanted to.
Coming out of the pen for the last three appearances or so, 2.2 innings, 3 innings, and 2 innings. So they are definitely looking at him and saying, all right, go out there.
Take a look earlier in the season. He actually had some, and you're right. My guess is that's exactly what they're thinking. However, he's had some pretty good starts this year.
Oh, absolutely. But I think this is get me one time through the order.
Yeah, so the Guardians have seen him once. When you look through the lineup, Jimenez has a hit against him. Martinez has two hits against him. Rocchio has a hit against him. Otherwise, everybody else is looking for a hit. Who's facing him the most time? Kwan is facing the most times, four times, 0 for 4.
Well, that's not good.
Well, again, small sample size.
This is fascinating, isn't it? I mean, this is kind of fun.
Best.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
It's the best.
It is.
You can't beat playoff baseball.
Montero against Colorado had a three-hit shutout, which is the key game for him. Since then, he's only gone 5 innings in one start. So we'll see what they do. He hasn't gone deep since that 9-inning game. Man, he was cooking against Colorado that game.
He struck out 7 against the Guardians last time we saw him. So, Fry, Jimenez, Manzardo, Bo Naylor, Noel, Ramirez, and Schneeman, all victims.
And he pitched in game one. He went 2 innings, he gave up 1 hit. Struck out 3.
And there you have it.
Bullpen chaos. As A.J. Hinch called it. Tarek Skubal and bullpen chaos,
right,
and
so
that's what you're going to see.
So he's a right-hander. What are you going to do in right field? You're going to play Will Brennan? I would assume that means you're going to DH Kyle Manzardo. And that gives you David Fry and Jonkenzie Noel on the bench.
Yeah, and both those guys have struck out against him the last time they faced him.
Would you agree, though? You're going to DH, you're going to start, try and beat the starting pitcher?
Yeah.
Go Manzardo?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Yeah.
You're going to go Will Brennan?
Yes.
Or are you going to go Martinez in center and slide Lane Thomas over to right?
Well, Martinez does have 2 hits against him.
What are you thinking, Dano? Andy?
I mean, who do you feel better about playing center field? I mean, Lane Thomas really misplayed that fly ball in that last game. I mean, that was ugly. I mean, You know, he gets a
couple. Martinez is an infielder.
All right, Martinez is an infielder. So you don't have a straight center fielder because you left Miles Straw off the roster. So you can kind of throw that idea out.
Well, you left Miles Straw off the season.
Yes.
So.
So, yeah, you could throw that idea out the window.
I don't think he was your answer for a playoff start.
Well, but
he's a terrific defensive center fielder.
I would have liked him on the bench as a terrific defensive center fielder / pinch runner when I need somebody with a little bit more haste to him. So, alas, here we are. Maybe you keep Lane Thomas out there and just hope you can kind of shift your way through center field and cross your fingers. Because
it's an interesting center field to play.
Do you DH Martinez?
That's not a bad idea.
Why not?
I don't think so. You DH Manzardo.
Yeah, you're right.
Martinez has had success against him. That's why I'm saying that.
They're not going to do that. They're going to DH Manzardo. I can't wait till the lineup comes out.
Do you dare put Martinez at shortstop?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Yeah, you already said Alex Cobb, ground ball pitcher, Rocchio, shortstop. Done.
Makes sense to me, but you know.
Makes perfect sense to me.
I'm just throwing ideas.
You're an idea man, Chuck.
Well, sometimes. The other thing is, how long do you think how long does he last? Four innings?
Montero?
Yeah.
If he goes four, by God, that'd be a stretch.
I'd be shocked.
I think, yeah.
I think two to three.
So if Martinez in against him.
Know that he's capable of, if he's going, that they could leave him out there. It could be one of those things. Hey, well, why change it? He's going. Let's go. He's gone through three. They haven't scored. Good. Welcome to the fourth.
Time's a lineup come out. Now I want a lineup. Get me a lineup card. I need a pencil and a scorecard and the lineup.
Pencils. I remember those.
Get me a pencil without an eraser because I am confident. The tiny ones, the little golf pencils.
It's all you need.
10 cents. They say Cleveland Indians on
it. It's all you need.
I don't think they made them for the Guardians. So.
Andrew Siciliano is busy getting ready for the Browns game, but he's a diehard Guardians fan. We got to get his thoughts on both. He's next on Baskin and Phelps. You win, okay. You're hanging tough. We'll see where it goes. The gentleman who will be calling that game for us on the Browns Radio Network joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He also happens to be a diehard Guardians fan. He's Mr. Andrew Siciliano. Hello, Andrew.
Good morning, guys. Hey, correct me with my calendar. It is the Rock and Roll Hall, is that next week or in 2 weeks?
It's the 19th.
Okay.
So 10 days from today.
Next week. Okay. I got to work on that.
You'll be in town.
Saturday night, right?
Yeah. You'll be in town on the 20th.
All right, we got to work on that. Maybe I could, you know, Fife's no longer there. May rest in peace. Maybe I could take his spot.
You'd do well. You would do well.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. You should wear a tribe hat, by the way,
Maybe we could auction you off for charity so you could go with somebody. Want to do that?
No, I was just thinking, you know, the height thing.
Oh.
You know.
There it is. But before we get to the Browns.
Five-foot assassin with a rough neck business. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He can float like gravity. I don't think he's ever had a cavity either. Have you had a cavity, Andrew? You could fill in.
I have, actually. Yeah, I'm not. As a kid, I wasn't good with the brushing.
Alex Cobb will make his fourth start as a Guardian today. He hasn't pitched a game since September 1st. His fingers appear to be healthy. Right move, wrong move.
That is such an odd sentence to say. Jeez. I mean, I would have had Ben Lively on the roster, but that's just me. I'm a bit anxious. I'm still going over my head the idea that you needed Class A to get out of the eighth, and then you have him sit there, even though it was a quick inning. Still, I'm not comfortable with that. I am convinced.
And he gets the first two outs of the ninth inning without any problems.
Yeah, I know. If they had gotten out of the ninth, I would have bet every dollar in my pocket, which who carries cash these days is not that much, that they were going to walk it off in the bottom of the ninth. Like, I just knew it in every ounce of my being. It didn't happen, but today is a nice day. I heard it was a good day. I think Hammy was on somewhere yesterday, and he said the players get over these games far faster than we do, and he is right in that regard. And let's move on. Let's move on and go get a win in Detroit.
You like the Guardians
at home?
Do you still like
Detroit? Yes, in Detroit.
It's all the same. Same time zone. Are you confident in the Guardians to be able to win this series?
Yes, absolutely.
Five or four?
Look. I mean, I'd prefer four, but the idea that they were going to waltz to the World Series undefeated, I think, is foolish, and that's the way you got to look at it. Step back and breathe and go big picture. I think we'd feel a lot differently if they just lost 5-2, right, on Monday. That would feel different. It's the way they lost. Obviously, that makes it feel worse, but today's a new day. I am, as you guys hopefully have heard a little bit with the Browns, I'm always going to be as optimistic as humanly possible, and I'm the same with that this week as well.
Keiter Montero starting for the Tigers, so they're going righty. We probably won't see him for five innings, but he's capable. Steven Vogt all year has said, hey, I'm gonna put a lineup out there to defeat the starting pitcher. Does that hold true in a bullpen game?
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, we had that issue Saturday, right? I mean, the Tigers pulled their guy so quickly, and you're like, well, why is Noel in there? I am all for putting your best lineup out there regardless, and I would also look at it this way, is that if your best lineup, even if it's not a bullpen game, knocks the guy out early, then, you know, you're going to have to make lineup decisions early if you're going to play the lefty-righty nonsense. But I would always assume that you're going to hit well and get the other team into the bullpen early. Who are we talking about? I haven't seen the lineup yet.
Well, we haven't seen it yet either.
Okay. I didn't think so. All right. I'd like to see Manzardo get in that batter, too.
Yeah.
That's been the theme of the show so far.
Yeah.
Just so you know. All right, let's switch gears. Let's talk about the bread and butter here. We'll talk about the Browns. Your thoughts on how they can hit the reset button going into this game in Philly?
That's a fascinating question, isn't it? I would love to see, and I am on Team Zach's injury as a bright future. I'm not calling for any one benching specifically, but, you know, if Michael Dunn, who is up and active last week for the first time all season, is truly healthy, I would love to see how that offensive line looks with him at right guard. We're just talking what can change, right? Because that's what Nathan and I were talking about in the fourth quarter last week when it became apparent. When it became apparent that they were going to lose the game, it's like, well, what can change? That's one thing. The quarterback change is not happening. I don't think a play caller change is happening, nor, by the way, do I think a play caller change should happen. I am not for that in any way, shape, or form. You got to do the little things better. You know, even with the disaster that was the first possession of the third quarter sequence down on the 2-yard line. I mean, look, JOK makes a perfect play, right? Loads up, hits Terry McLaurin cleanly, forces the fumble, two nice Deshaun plays to Amari to get him down to the two, and then everything falls apart. Even with all of that, he had a wide open Jerry Jeudy in the corner of the end zone, right? In the mesh, he puts his hand up, he's there, he doesn't see him. They can still score and get in that game. It's those little things, like when the protection is good, he may not see it, and when the protection is bad, he can still make, like, rarely does everything sync up at the same time. You just need that to sync up at the same time. I'm not an excuse maker. I still go back to, we saw enough good in Vegas. Like, there was an 82-yard touchdown pass that happened that gave them the lead, and they're likely winning. That got called back on what we still all agree is a suspect call. So there is good there. You just need more of it.
Do they need to run the ball more?
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. But, I mean, that didn't work this past week. The Commanders came out, and that D-line was better than the Browns O-line, period, full stop. They controlled the line of scrimmage. So they were not able to run the football, and a lot of those running numbers were padded late when the game was already over. So they need to run the – look, they need to do something better on first down. If it's run the football, that's great. If it's short passing, that's great. But they can't keep getting behind the sticks because their third downs aren't third and twos. They're third and eights. And third and eights, nobody wins except the defense.
What would you like to see out of Deshaun Watson to make him a better quarterback? Or is it a matter of the offensive line? What would you like to see him change or do?
Oh, it's clearly both.
Yeah.
It is clearly both. And that's the thing. One plays well, the other doesn't. And that's what you're trying to get is both of them getting enough consecutive plays together where everything is working. You saw the opening drive of the Raiders game, 15 plays, 9.5 minutes off the clock. Like I said, it can be done. But what I would like, and listen, I am not a Dan Orlovsky, Kurt Warner, all 22. This is your read, and this is where your eye should be. I am never going to pretend to be able to be a coach here and tell you that there's an open guy running here, there's an open guy running there. But when it is there, you got to be confident. You got to rip it. And there are plays. There are plays to be made. You just got to take the layups more consistently. And he's also making plays when it isn't there. Like the touchdown to Amari that got called back in Vegas, that was a great impromptu. Hey, you moved up in the pocket. You jumped. You got drilled. I mean, he got drilled on that play and still delivered a great pass. You're just not stringing enough of those together consistently.
Other teams have offensive line issues, don't seem to have offensive line issues that dominate what we see on the field. I think we've kind of seen that from the Browns. They haven't figured it out. Why? What do you think's going on?
That's a great question, and I don't have an answer for you, Andy. I'm sorry, Jeff. That's a great answer. The Browns in years past have been able to overcome offensive line injuries. They have not been able to do that this year. They simply have not. But they got to find a way to do that, and they got to find a way as well to put on tape and tell other teams that on third down, when you bring the house, we're going to pick it up. We're going to protect our quarterback because they get in third long. And, I mean, it's not a secret what the other teams are doing. They smell blood in third long. They bring the pressure. A lot of it's up the middle, and the line's not holding up. It's just not happening. And when you have that on tape, teams are going to exploit it until you prove that you can stop it.
How does an NFL team that's 1-4 suddenly learn how to tackle? Because tackling seems to be a big issue for this defense that is kind of been, you know, if the offense wasn't so bad, I wonder what we'd really be saying about the defense right now. But, you know, it's just when you look statistically across the board, the Browns defense is meh. They're right there in the middle.
I still think it's good enough to win, and it's obviously performing at a more consistent level than the offense. I think we could all agree on that. Yeah, they've missed too many tackles. I thought last week it was certainly – look, what's frustrating is there are dozens of great tackles on tape. It's the breakdown here, the breakdown there, and then those breakdowns go for huge plays, right? I mean, they talked all last week about getting back to the tackling fundamentals, and 90% of the time they're fine. 95% of the time they're fine. It's the 5% that you're not fine that kill you, and those go for explosives. I mean, look at how the game opened last week. You force a 3-and-out. Washington had gone a couple of weeks without punting. Tressway was on the side of a milk carton. The guy was golfing all week. He doesn't need to be at football practice. You forced a 3-and-out immediately. Second drive, you look good as well. Now, granted, he gave up the long scramble play, or I'm sorry, the play that Jaden Daniels made on the run where he hit McLaurin deep, but then you forced the turnover right after that. JOK played his tail off, by the way. But also give Jaden Daniels credit. I mean, that was a ridiculous throw by a ridiculous player on the run. All right, that was an amazing play. I know I'm rambling away from the tackling conversation.
Sorry.
It's hard in the NFL when you don't tackle, obviously, certainly don't practice tackling during the season. You know, you don't bring anyone into the ground. So it's hard to pick those fundamentals back up.
You talked about optimism earlier. Andy and I usually err on the side of being optimistic. I pointed this out the other day, and I don't think this is being optimistic as much as it is being realistic. Even with all of the nonsense, you're two games out in the division.
Correct.
And
isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah.
Like, look at Robert Saleh got fired with a chance.
Yes.
And they're 2-3.
They could be in first place.
With a chance to go into first on Monday night.
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes me think, okay, get it together and let's make this thing a season.
Get it together and just look, get into a position where you could play meaningful games in October. It's being overly optimistic. It's a glass half full and it's trying to speak it into existence. Like Kevin said last week, let's get a Guardians-Phillies World Series. Let's speak it into existence. If the Browns can find a way to win, and it's a new week, people. It is a new week. If they can find a way to win this week, the optimism of coming home for three games, three-game homestand, right, against teams you can beat. Yeah,
where they were, 8-1 last year at home.
Yes. Not your own two this year, but 8-1 last year.
Yep.
It'll feel a lot different next week.
I'll give you another
get a win. this week. Go ahead. Yeah, another,
just Nick Chubb, too. Possibility of Nick Chubb being back.
Exactly. Yeah. And look, Kevin's going to speak in, what, 25 minutes? So we'll get an update there. I would assume they're going to give him as much of a runway as possible. And I'd be mildly surprised if he played this week. I think it's better get him at home, get him on the grass. That's just me, right? I think we see him next week. But yeah, imagine that energy if you're coming off a win and you're back at home and Nick Chubb's coming out of the tunnel. Mm. Yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome?
It would be awesome.
Look forward to hearing you on Sunday.
Fresh off of Dave Matthews and Q-Tip bringing the house down the night before.
It's true. It's true.
By the way, yours truly has probably been to 35 Dave Matthews concerts.
Nice.
So, yeah,
we look forward to hearing you and not Dave Matthews on Sunday. Thank you, buddy.
What would you say if they won, though? See what I did there?
Yeah, I did.
That was nice.
I saw him once. That was enough for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Wow. You're
Thank
awful.
You, sir.
Sorry. Goodbye.
Andrew Siciliano joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He'll be calling the game Browns Eagles coming up on Sunday. Browns got to do it. Chris Rose, NFL Network, our buddy who does a great day on game day final, Browns preseason TV, next on Baskin and Felbrick. From diehard Guardians fan joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline right here on Baskin and Phelps. Good morning, sir.
Hello, Chris.
Hello.
It's only baseball. That's why you can't get all excited about just losing a baseball game, except if you lose three, you're done. So you have three games to win two. Where's your gut right now when it comes to the Guardians and the Tigers?
Yeah, I mean, nervous. It's great to be nervous. And, you know, there's eight teams left, and I think you can make a legitimate argument for all eight teams winning this darn thing. I don't think you can always do that. For us, it's pretty simple. We've got to put rallies together. You know, we've got to string some hits together. And we only faced Montero once in the regular season. He did a number on us in a 1-0 game in early July. He pitched the other day out of the pen in game one. I mean, he's a guy that's got really, really good stuff. His problem has been the walks. And, you know, that'll be interesting. It's the first playoff game in Detroit in a decade. And so, you know, they're turning it over to a rookie. They're not going to ask him to get six innings, but as many as he can give them. And the question's going to be whether or not he's in the strike zone. And if he's in the strike zone, he's tough to hit. Like, his stuff's really good. But this is incumbent on us. It's, you know, short series. You don't have time to wait and have guys heat up. It's got to go.
Chris, what do you think about Alex Cobb going today? He's been limited in his time. Hopefully his fingers. Jeff and I both said we think this is the right call to go with him today.
Yeah. I mean, they don't really have another direction. I just don't think that Gavin Williams is consistent enough. You're asking a guy who's thrown a little bit more than 15 innings all year long to keep you in a game. I would think that the goal is to get him through the Tigers lineup once, kind of see where he is from there. But you don't, once again, you don't have a lot of time to waste. Managers are criticized for keeping guys in either too long or not giving them enough rope at this time of year. And, you know, that's the biggest key here. I actually think that Steven Vogt has done a pretty good job through two games so far. In that area, it's just now kind of up to the players to start delivering a bit more.
Chris, like, I can feel the pressure in your voice on this thing, and I kind of like the best of five. I mean, I know the best of seven might give you a better feel for who might truly be the better team, but do you like best of five here? Jeff and I have been...
I hate it, Chris.
I like it. Jeff hates it.
Yeah, but we've been doing this for years. This is nothing new. This is the hardest sport, I think, for the best team throughout the season to win.
Agreed. Well, that's a great comment.
It just is. And I just think we have to accept it. You know, it's also the sport where the best player doesn't always make the playoffs. I mean, we've waited 7 years to finally see Shohei in the playoffs. That usually doesn't happen in the NFL. It never happens in the NBA or the NHL for the most part. It's just what makes... I know that it feels like there's a little bit of randomness to it, and that's not always the best feeling because you really want to feel like the best team wins. But I think we just have to kind of accept it. And ever since they've put in the buys over the last couple of years, then it really has thrown kind of a different layer into it. in the National League, you've got the two best teams on the cusp of being eliminated today. And you've got the two teams that received the bye in the American League in 1-1 series going on the road now. So it's daunting. I still think that if you ask every major league team, they would rather have the bye than not have the bye. But it's something to overcome. That's a real thing.
Chris, through your work with baseball over the years and the Rose Rotation now, your great podcast, you get to talk to a lot of baseball folks. I wonder if they've ever addressed this. You know, during the season, it's 162 games, and it's consistency and doing it day after day and having the same approach and not freaking out about something that goes wrong, maybe on a daily or even a weekly basis. You know, you stick with the program. Then you get to the playoffs. Can you keep that same mentality? Because that's what makes teams successful. Because if you freak out, if you panic, if guys try and change, is that good? Has that ever come up with guys?
I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, there's an extra off day built in the American League series this year because of television. So it's hard to kind of get ramped up for both, I think, the Yankees and the Guardians because, right, they both receive, you know, 4 full days off before they're back in competition. For the Guardians, it was an extra day because they got rained out at the last day of the regular season. Then you play a game, then you're off, then you play a game, then you're off. That does not happen once the season starts. It just doesn't. Now, maybe you might get a rain out where you're playing one day, you have a scheduled off day the next, and then a rain out happens. You know, maybe that'll pop up once a year or something, but certainly not at the time where you're supposed to be peaking and you're most amped up to play a game. There's just no way around it. It's the way it is. So you just, I think guys learn to deal with it. And also I do think one other thing, while we are all sitting here pushing the panic button saying, how the heck are we going to win the next 2 games? Because we have to, because Scooble's waiting for us in game 5. That is not the way that players think. They just don't. I don't know why, because you would think they would, but they are just, they're focused on today, and we'll deal with today. And we're not like they're not sitting there saying we have got to win 3 and 4 in Detroit, or we've got no shot. That's how we think. I know it's how we think, but not them.
All right, Chris, let me ask you. This is probably the easiest question I've ever asked you in the entire time that I've known you.
Great.
How do you fix the Browns? That's easy.
Excellent. Go ahead, Chris.
And if you could do it in less than 3 minutes, that'd be great too.
Yeah, I would. What I would do is kill your brakes for the next 28 hours. I'm not even so sure we could do that. The answer is I don't know. I would have liked to have seen Jameis come in with a quarter to play last week. There's a reason I'm not poking around there, because I feel like I don't want to find out exactly what's going on. And there's a lot up in the air in terms of when you don't make the most significant move that you can make, the danger is losing a locker room, right? Guys realize when certain people aren't playing well. Is this all on Deshaun? We can all look at film. We can all scour social media and try and figure out which person who's breaking down film is telling us the right thing and this and that and the other thing. I'm fortunate. I get to work with people who actually did this for a living and were in the battle. And so I'm getting clips sent to me on a regular basis. And it's not overwhelmingly supportive of a $230 million player. It's just not. And I don't know if that fixes it immediately, because I do think that there are other significant shortcomings that many of us did not see in the preseason. But I would like to see somebody else at the helm at some point.
The offensive line. It's interesting.
Perfect.
The offensive line issues don't seem to be going away.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you overcome those, as other teams have done?
You know, And we did last year.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we understand you're going from one of the legendary offensive line coaches to I don't know what Coach Dickerson, like, how good he is. I know he was in Seattle. I know there were a couple of guys who have developed in recent years up there. And I haven't been around the team enough to know exactly how, but when you're going from one of the best to somebody else, there's going to be a bit of a drop off there. Yeah, guys, it's all part of the problem. There's nothing worse than an offensive line that is either not talented or not playing well. I can give you an example. In a week and a half, I'm going to be in London calling the Patriots-Jaguars game. So I've been watching every New England Patriots game. It's brutal. Like, their offensive line, they've had five different starting offensive line combinations, and not one of them is close to being good. So every snap, our buddy Jacoby Brissett is running for his life. And I don't think it's that bad in Cleveland, but I think the combination of not great offensive line play and not outstanding decision-making by a quarterback has gotten it to the point where it looks horrific with those five guys up there.
All right, don't get too nervous today. Thank you for your assessments on both teams, and keep your fingers crossed all the way around. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, Chris.
Not fingers crossed. I'm excited. I'm excited and nervous.
Yes.
Goodbye.
That's why you can cross your fingers. That helps. Takes the tension out of your head and out of your chest and puts it in your fingers.
Yeah. Makes sense.
There you go.
Boys. Totally.
See you, bud. Chris Rose joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We've heard from Siciliano. We've heard from Rose. How about if we hear from Stefanski?
Coach of the Browns
coming up next.
Kevin Stefanski.
No change with play calling. No change with quarterback. You okay?
Do we have a choice?
Yeah. Yeah.
We do?
Yeah, they could change it.
No. We have a choice as fans.
No, well, we certainly don't. I don't. I have no problem with Kevin calling plays. I don't think that's an issue. I think he has shown that he's a good play caller.
I think they just need to tell him it's the first quarter, and it's the first time they get the ball every time they get the ball. We'd score like 49 points a game. He somehow, some way, he can be dynamic on charting out the first plays of the game. As good as
whoever
anybody
is charting those out.
Yeah. But he's consistently been able to do that since he got here.
That is true.
So why can't they do that for the rest of the game?
It does seem that in-game adjustments sometimes are an issue. Is that fair?
Yeah, post-second drive.
Now, let me just say, is that something that someone should focus on completely rather than also being the head coach of the team and being, overseeing the defensive coordinator, even though Jim Schwartz is doing his thing, overseeing special teams, even though Bubba's doing his thing, and overseeing game management? In other words, should you have the offensive coordinator call plays if it's an issue after the first drive of the game?
I think so.
Right now, 13, 15, 16, 17, 18 points. That's what the Browns have scored this year.
The proof is not in the pudding, right? It's not there.
Yeah.
You're not scoring points. You need to get in this league. You got to get to 2021 to even have a chance.
I would think to win a game in this league and give yourself a good chance, that first number at least has to be a two. Yep, I agree with you.
I mean, unless they're just blind to everything that we're seeing, which I don't think they are. I think they understand the frustrations that we all see. I think they see some of the issues that we all see. Now, is it their job to be patient? Okay. How long before that patience becomes Cincinnati taking over your stadium, Baltimore taking over your stadium? That's what happens at the end of the year. We've seen it too many times. How long before you start talking about what are we drafting? Should they draft a quarterback? Do they need a left tackle? What are they going to do? I don't want to walk down that road on October 9th. I'm not ready yet. Especially with what we thought they were coming back with this roster. The offensive line looks old. The receivers aren't in sync with their quarterback.
You think it looks old? I think it just looks decimated.
It looks old and decimated. Right now it does. I'm sorry. I mean, I like Joel. Ethan's having trouble staying healthy. Jack hasn't been able to get back out on the field. And it's not his fault. I'm not mad.
And the, like, young guys, the young guys haven't stepped it up.
No.
Wyatt Teller going out.
DeWatt Jones does not look right at all. Zach Zinter struggled the last 2 weeks. You know, these guys have had the opportunity to go out there and show something, and it hasn't happened. I mean, the opposition looks at them like they're steak, and they haven't eaten in like a month. They're able to get right through. And so that doesn't help Deshaun. That doesn't help the whole quarterback situation. Deshaun needs to get rid of the ball faster. I mean, everyone, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It's just the source of our frustration. And I do believe that if they lose again, what are we playing for? You have to start asking yourself that question. What is this team playing for the rest of the season? And did we not just waste another year of Myles Garrett?
Boy, that sounds harsh.
If they lose this week, it's staring you right in the face.
Well, if they lose this week, I think the narrative changes. You know, you fall to, let's just say, you know, you fall three games out in the division, right? And you're 1-5.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere.
And that's true.
You're not. I don't care.
It would be stunning. That would be one of the most stunning comebacks in NFL history.
And also knowing who's on your schedule, like the entire AFC North. Oh, and by the way, Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah.
The AFC North twice, by the way. Twice.
Can I make both of you smile?
No.
By all means,
I'm in a bad mood right now. I don't want to smile.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. No, what do you got, sir?
All right, fine. You just sit and wallow.
I'm going to go in the corner.
All right. Guardians, game three, lineup versus Detroit. We're ready for this?
All right, go, go, go.
All right, so hitting lead off the left fielder, Stephen Kwan.
Can we play like the organ?
Really?
I mean, yeah, it's lineup, yeah. Man. Get us pumped up. It's the playoffs, baby. Bring your A game.
We like a little pizzazz.
You know, this is what we're all about. We are a production-valued show.
I mean, you talk about pizzazz, you think of Baskin and Phelps.
Yes. Thank you. Come on, boys. Let's go now. Here we go. Here we go. Luchetta, Luchetta.
Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy.
Swing. Better. All right. For your Guardians starting lineup today, the left fielder, Stephen Kwan, will be hitting leadoff.
Here
going
we go,
up against
Kwan. Here
second.
We go, Kwan.
They're going against a right-handed pitcher.
Yep.
The designated hitter, Kyle Manzardo, hitting second today.
Manzardo in the two slot.
Look at that. The rookie getting the call.
Well, he's going lefty-righty. Go ahead.
Getting the call. Hitting third, the third baseman, Jose Ramirez.
Jose. Yep.
Josh Naylor, the first baseman, will be hitting fourth today for the Guardians. Hitting fifth, the center fielder, Lane Thomas.
Right-handed hitter. Okay.
Yep,
in center field.
Yep.
Got it.
Andrés Giménez, the second baseman, will be hitting sixth for the Guardians today. Hitting seventh, Will Brennan, the right fielder.
Lefty.
Hitting eighth, Bo Naylor in the squat, throwing down the signs. The catcher today.
Lefty.
And the shortstop, Brian Rocchio, will be hitting ninth. And that gentleman is your starting lineup.
So they're starting the game with one right-handed hitter going up against Keter Montero, the right-handed pitcher for the Tigers. Definitely going lefty-righty on that. Thoughts on Kevin Stefanski? Good lineup, Dano. Well done. That was nice, especially after you added Andy's music.
Yeah, it was really good after
Thoughts
that.
On what you heard from Kevin Stefanski? No change in play calling. Okay? No change at quarterback. It's what we assumed. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on the Fan. Kevin's calling plays.
Yes, he is. Is he? Yeah, he is.
Maybe?
That's what we hear. My buddy Don... Don's a rational guy. Don has like a real job. You know, he's like he's like a businessman. He's really good. Don's a passionate Browns fan.
Okay.
First time I met him, he was wearing this little leather Browns hat. I thought it was cool. Sends me this.
Like a freshman beanie?
Don sends me this. Stefanski stinks. Based on game he coached, or best game he coached was from his basement during COVID. I fail to see his genius, his offensive mind. The team feels like morale is gone. Don't know if that's because of Deshaun or Kevin. At some point, coaches need to make tough decisions.
How is he in the locker room?
Mishearing excitement of fans chanting Flacco last year. Yep, Don went there. Coach obviously has no clue how to resolve. Nice man, lousy coach. Hey, I'm even calm today.
How does he know about the morale? Like, is he inside?
Don also said he's won awards as a businessman after I responded to him.
Oh, congratulations. What kind of award?
Don's a great guy. I love that guy.
But how does Don know about the morale in the locker room?
I'm curious
how he has got that.
I told you he's a big time businessman. He has contacts.
All right. Well, if he knows the morale, then all right, I'm down with it. He knows the morale.
You buy any of that? Because that's what a lot of people are thinking right now.
Until you start winning, that's what people are going to think. It is the outside noise. It is 100% the outside noise. Start winning.
Is that valid?
If you win, none of these problems exist.
See, I don't think it's valid.
What part of it?
I think Kevin has a track record here that has shown that he knows how to call plays, can be very creative in A, play calling, B, play design. We've seen it. The only issue I've had with him for the most of his time here is running the football when and when he doesn't. That's the one issue I've had.
I know Nick Chubb gets a lot of carries, but I would like, if Nick does get back to 100%, I would like to see Nick get carries, in particular maybe on third down every once in a while. I have no problem with that. I think the bigger issue right now, and I think Daryl said a play was a microcosm of the season. I'm trying to remember what it was. I'll just tell you this. You want a bad look. You want fans to not trust you or trust anybody out on the field. Walk off the field with 20 seconds to go on the play clock when you're deep in the other team's territory. You've got a chance to put 7 on the board, and you have to take a penalty because you don't want to burn your second timeout early in the first half. That is a – you want to talk about morale problems? That is a Browns fan nation, whatever you want to call it. That is a morale killer when your quarterback walks right by you.
And in theory – should the quarterback have just said, we have one too many guys, get off the field, go.
Yes. Okay. And if we're correct and we determine this, that Kevin still had 5 more seconds to be inside his helmet, he should have looked. I look at a running back, look at a wide receiver, get off the field. I don't know how you how does the quarterback walk off the field with 20 seconds to go on the play clock, knowing that you have too many men on the field. Just kick a guy off the field. Send somebody off. Make sure you leave an offensive lineman and send one of your running backs or send one of the wide receivers out. I just don't, kids know that. That play is probably the most frustrating play we've seen since the team came back in 99.
That's pretty annoying.
I can't remember a play like that before. Like, what's going on?
And for whatever this is worth, the optic of Deshaun walking off the field slowly with plenty of time on the play clock and an awkward, I won't call it a confrontation, but an awkward chat with Kevin on the sideline. You're right. That's a terrible look.
That's probably one of the worst looking scenarios I think you could absolutely positively ask for. It's horrible.
Yep, I thought so.
And nobody trusts anybody now, right? You've got Deshaun disciples blaming Kevin Stefanski. You've got Kevin's kids. They need a nickname too. I don't know what we call them. I don't know. I got nothing. But it's just that you know people want to defend Stefanski. They want to say this. They want to blame. We're all pointing fingers in different directions. You want all the fingers to point in a single direction? Go get a win. Go get a win and say last week was a fluke. Because if they can beat Philadelphia, it'd be pretty spectacular.
Larry, welcome to the show.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, so we got to stay motivated. Here we go, Browns. Here we go.
Here we go.
Woof, woof. Man, I tell you, fellas, man, we see that they're not scoring points. And Deshaun and Capacity are butting heads because the offense coordinator, he's trash, dude. We were scoring at least 30 points or more last year, even though, and I would have kept Flacco as a mentor. Man, these guys don't think. You got to process these guys mentally, man.
Deshaun's a veteran. He doesn't need a mentor.
Well, but guess what, man? We still need help. Guess what? Brady goes to go on this auto. He's a get on every, he gets sacked. Man, he get on this offensive line. What the hell are y'all doing? Well, I need y'all to block, not the flop. Man, most of all, he got a mess over. That's how he's coming, champ. You got to go in there, have some intensity, high energy in order to win this game today. And we can still, it's not over. This is the thing. Capacity, you better win Sunday or you're going to get fired. I'm going to tell you the real. Just ain't playing. These owners ain't playing. They give out all this money to everybody, not just the charm. The owners, the coaches, all that, man. They are not serious. They're serious because they want to win, and if we deserve it. We got too much talent to be losing. We should be there 4-2. Easy, man. Have a good day. Let's go,
you too.
Brian.
Thank you. Thank
Larry,
you.
I appreciate your passion.
If you had Kapanski on your bingo board, congratulations.
I wrote this down. Block. Block, not flop. Larry, that's not bad. Larry, that's not bad.
Kapanski. We had that one yet?
We have.
I don't believe so.
We've had it now.
I like it.
I know a guy named Kapanski.
We were just wondering. Dan and I were sitting around before the show. Does Jeff know any Kapanskis?
I do. So he's got that going for him, which is nice.
That's my buddy Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy.
Been Kapanski. A long time. Jimmy, if you're listening, hope all is well.
Hope you're well.
Yeah, now that you're coaching the Browns.
Now that he's coaching the Browns. Folks, they're 1-4. What do you think? And you heard what Kevin said. It sounds like, you know, we've talked about the team needing changes. It sounds like, Andy, changes are going to be made that aren't going to be visible to most all of us. No change in play caller, no change in quarterback. You're going to change some play design? You're going to do something different? Folks, what are you going to do? 216-474-0092. One more loss, and this goes to hypercritical. And then we can start talking draft.
With the first pick. Oh.
Oh, there it is. Sorry. There it was.
Stop it.
He was. I didn't even have to tee him up. He was ready to go.
Stop
I just
it.
Snuck it in before he got it.
The Cleveland Browns
Stop
are
it.
On the clock.
Stop it.
Perhaps the quarterback coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. At least that's what we're thinking right here on Baskin and Phelps. So get ready for that, folks. That would mean Deshaun Watson.
It's Baskin and Menigan.
But before we get back into the Browns, can I give you something from New York?
Sure.
Aaron Rodgers, Robert Saleh let go yesterday.
Yeah.
We all have thought. Everybody's thought, you know, everybody looks at the Robert Saleh, Aaron Rodgers relationship.
Yep.
There was the one where he came off the field and Saleh kind of hugged him and Rodgers kind of gave him, I wouldn't say a push.
Don't get in his personal space.
Yeah, it was you're crowding me, son.
Yeah.
Get out of the way.
Yeah.
Aaron had his little chat today with the media.
Oh, how'd that go?
As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it. And that is, I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. It's interesting the amount of power people think I have, which I don't. But I love Robert.
He was on Pat McAfee's show when he said that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, where he was getting paid for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Wow, Jeff, drop the mic on that line. Very nice. And so, and then what? So did they hug it out when it was all said and done, or what? Bro hug?
With Robert? I don't know. I don't think Robert could be found because security escorted him out of the building.
Well, I'm sure he's got his number, right? Unless they took the cell phone. I mean, does anyone still have a company cell phone?
Not me.
No. You? Dan?
Oh, gosh, no.
Okay, just making sure. Yeah, that's not a good situation.
I love Coach Saleh. We have a very solid relationship. We have since I met him in 2021 and had a nice conversation when they came and visited us for joint practices. Back in the day, he was a big reason I came to the Jets. Do I think Aaron Rodgers got him fired? You're dang right I don't.
Oh. Well, you
I don't. I don't.
Yeah, I don't. Especially
did Nathaniel Hackett? Yeah, that might have been the case. Uh-huh. Did you see the reports that apparently Saleh was planning to take play calling duties away from Nathaniel Hackett later on in the day?
Ah.
But didn't have the chance because he got canned.
Ah. And the owner didn't like that?
That's where I haven't seen any specifics on that. Like, did the owner catch wind of that? Did Aaron catch wind of that and call the owner? I don't know. I just found it interesting that after Saleh got let go, reports came out that he was planning to make a change later that day.
Would we be?
With the offensive coordinator.
Would we be concerned about the play calling if the Browns were 2-3?
Yeah, we'd still be concerned.
Okay. Yeah. I guess it depends. Maybe in one of those.
At 1-4, we're a little more
concerned. In the other mythical win, maybe they would have had more than 20 points.
I'll tell you what. The NFL is just, I mean, it's take the WWE storylines.
Mm-hmm. And make them real?
And make them real. Mm. And that's the NFL.
Mm.
Brian is in Shaker Heights.
Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Andy, Brian, the bagel guy here. I got to drop off some bagels for you guys at some point.
But we're all in. We are all in.
Here you guys are in. So we're exasperated when Deshaun walks off the field. But what was happening last week that none of us saw? He was literally trying to save himself $92 million. He was settling a suit. That's where his brain is. Mm. No one's seen this type of a body language. No one's seen these types of plays. He's mentally checked out. And if there's three or four more skeletons in the closet, guys, he's never going to mentally check in. Look at Myles Garrett at the end of that game, that body language. He cannot believe where he is, and it permeates the locker room. That's I don't know how we overcome this challenge other than just cut this darn cord, because the national broadcast listened to him. They can't believe how bad this player is, and that's because he's mentally can't get there. So thanks, fellas. Bagels are coming.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Nice to see you, Brian. It's an interesting thing if you just listen to the national guys, and their points are certainly theirs to make, and I think they're right on when it comes to a football
There's
standpoint.
Plenty of, I mean...
But, Andy, we're sitting here every day. We know what's going on as far as commitment from the organization. They do, too, and they're many of the national guys, and they're just saying, well, you can't play them. Yeah, football standpoint, I'd love to see a change of quarterback. I would. And I say that because I haven't hidden the fact that I think Jameis is a pretty good quarterback.
The only way...
That's not going to happen.
Yes.
That's the thing I think everybody needs to understand. There will not be a change at quarterback because of play on the field. The coaching staff has been handed this quarterback by their own input, by Andrew Berry, maybe by Paul DePodesta, certainly by the Haslams because they had to sign off on it.
Sure.
And the coaching staff has been tasked with the task of making it work.
Yeah.
And that's what has to happen here. And if by chance they ever decide to change quarterbacks, sorry, the reality of life in the NFL, Andy, in this situation is that's going to have to come from way up the food chain. It's not Kevin's call.
There are only two ways they're going to change quarterbacks. One,
injury.
I don't wish on anybody injury.
Exactly.
And two, in case the league decides...
We're getting that, involved?
Yeah, we still want our investigation in that last allegation.
Or heaven forbid future stuff happening allegation-wise.
Sure, yeah, that'd be the only other way. So how about let's fix it? That's what I say.
Well, there you go.
All right. Can I play this word salad for you one more time and the two of you put it in the media translator and tell me what in the world is being said here?
All right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. Help me out because...
I'm going to write down keywords.
This is befuddling. Here you go.
All right, I think there are two things that really stand out. He's comfortable with the amount of collaboration they have on the headsets. To me, that means, you tell me if I'm wrong, and I'm just interpreting. I've never been on headsets during an NFL game.
Right.
Amount of collaboration. Means he's getting input. He's getting input from Ken Dorsey, as he should. Might be getting input from offensive coaches up in the booth, which they should. Get input from players. Which you should. But the guy who's calling the plays is the guy who has the final word on what play they call.
And he could also say, we're going here, we're doing this. Okay. He doesn't need to hear a word.
He could say, I don't want to hear anything. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm tired of collaboration. I've got a play sheet. Let's go.
And if there's no collaboration and you're the guy that makes the call, then that's the appropriate amount of collaboration that you need. Is that word salad enough for you?
Maybe. You know, maybe he's getting too much put into his headset during the game. I doubt that.
I don't think so.
He can go through that. He did say collective effort, which I think is interesting. Deshaun Watson is the Browns quarterback. We expect him to speak here on the 1 o'clock hour. If and when he does, you'll hear it right here on the
Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson expected to speak coming up here shortly. And I'm interested in hearing what Deshaun has to say.
He's going to say, I got to block out the noise. I've got to be better. I've got to get in sync with my wide receivers. I can tell you
why are we going to listen to him then?
When we get out of the quarterback room, I just like take my shoes off and go through the grass. Oh no, that's Kevin. Sorry.
I don't think anybody should walk around out there. You never know. The grass is so perfect, but still, it would just be the injury luck of this team that you'd step on a bee.
I thought you were worried about chemicals.
Stephen Vogt made it official. Tanner Bibee will be the game 4 starter.
That would be for the Guardians, right? He's not starting game 4 for the Browns. That's already happened.
Do you want me to punch it for you? Because I'm happy to. Do you need me to? No problem. I'll take the heat.
It's yours.
I'll walk right over to the Justice Center.
We are getting closer and closer to you truly being the kid that goes, Miss Henderson, we were supposed to have a test today.
Yeah, bro. That is the best explanation I've ever heard.
So Bybee's going in game four.
Yeah.
Skubal is sitting there for game five.
Notice the lack of a denial.
Sorry.
Does that mean you better win games three and four or you're toast?
No. No, none of our starters are that guy. None of our starters are that. We don't have Skubal on our staff. What we do have is that bullpen.
What I mean is, do you have to win games three and four? Because you do not want to have to beat Skubal in game five.
I think they can beat Skubal in game five if they need to. They know how to do it. They just need to do things a little different.
Maybe bunt guys over and not hit into double plays?
Big fan of that bunt. Sorry. I know. Why would you want to give up an out?
I don't like the idea.
Why would you want to move runners over?
Honestly, I don't like the idea of bunting with two outs.
I see a third baseman who is standing basically in the outfield, I am going to bunt.
I am great for bunt singles. I will not fight you on bunt singles.
I am not talking about sacrifice bunts.
Okay, good.
No, we're on the same page. Yeah. I'm not
sacrifice bunts are stupid. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, good. So now I feel like we've bonded.
Yeah.
Because I had ill will towards you for the last 2 days over this bunting thing.
But if
you're going up against a guy who hasn't given up runs for the most part all year, you going to give up an out to try and get guys in scoring position?
No, because it actually lowers my ability to score runs.
Okay. All right. I also am not a fan of the sacrifice bunt.
I don't know. First and second, nobody out, I might bunt.
First and second and nobody out, I might bunt too.
No way I would bunt. No.
Who's up?
Get myself out of that inning.
Put men on second and third, and then you're going to intentionally walk somebody to load them up.
Put the double play back in order?
That's a valid point.
Strikeouts galore in modern baseball.
But at that point, you got a guy on third. Double play with one out brings in a run. With nobody out. No, forgive me. I just talked myself into that. No, I get it.
Jeff, runners first and second. You're up against Skubal. Rocchio's at the plate.
Oh, I'm bunting.
Thank you.
Swing the bat. It's what we're paying you to do, son.
Except then you're going to walk.
No, I'm paying you to get runners in scoring position. Okay. And my second hitter is going to be my DH.
Kyle Manzardo or David Fry?
Yeah. So.
Well, it would be David Fry if Skubal's still in there.
And your team is fast enough. You only have really one truck on your team, mm-hmm. and that's Josh Naylor. That's pretty much the only truck this team has. So
you're
no
saying he's
what,
the only guy you wouldn't let bunt?
If they're standing on a base, they have a chance to score. Like, this whole scoring position thing has always made my head spin, too, because it's like you're standing on a base. You have a chance to score. Like, this is ridiculous. You only have one truck that you have to look at and be like, I don't know if that guy has a shot.
Yeah, but if you're standing at first, odds are you're going to need a double to score.
If you're standing at second, odds are high you're going to need to run a double to score.
No.
Guys' arms are too good now. Not to mention you're conservative most of the time.
No, I'm not conservative. I'm going for it. That's who I am. I'm going to roll in my house that way, baby. I'm sending him.
Live and die.
If I'm fast enough, we're hitting third and going home. Round in third and heading home.
I just don't want to get to a game five.
Why? It's here. I'm not scared of game five.
Yeah, how'd that go for you in game two? It's here. We're going against Skubal. Oops.
Okay. Well, if you want to be scared of your own shadow.
I'm not afraid, Andy. I'm looking at what I saw in baseball all year.
All I know
Skubal was basically an unhittable pitcher most of the year.
I know our crowd wasn't worth any runs the other day, but I got to tell you, the electricity is pretty amazing if you can get one across the plate. So. Our crowd can make a difference. It can. It didn't the other day. So I'm not scared of game five. I'm not scared of Skubal either.
Apparently the NFL is reviewing a message worn by George Pickens, wide receiver of the Steelers, that he wrote in silver on the black tape under his eyes.
Okay.
It said, open always. The word starts with an F. Open, ing, always.
Wow, really?
Yeah, he had it on his face.
What's to investigate?
I don't know. The spelling, it appears like it was in order. the NFL. These poor guys. You know, they've got some big issue things to deal with. And then, guys go and write eye black, stuff like that.
And forget about the dirty word in there. Wouldn't you have put always then the word, then open, rather than open, dirty word, always?
You know, Andy, what I've learned recently in life, and I don't like it because I'm usually a stickler for grammar and such, as you might know.
Yeah.
I keep hearing from somebody I love dearly that, well, languages evolve and people evolve and the languages evolve. It's like one thing that's...
One of your kids is saying this to you.
No, my wife.
Oh, really?
Who is a voracious reader.
Okay.
Language evolves. I'm like, yeah, well, it's evolving wrong.
Yeah, wouldn't you say you're always...
Yes, you would, Andy.
Open.
Yes.
Rather than open, always.
Well, but you only have so much room on the tape.
Well, but if
it's the same amount of letters.
I'm trying here, boys. I don't know. You know...
It's like one thing I don't like that's going on now with the language. It's like instead of saying, for instance...
Excuse me, hang on. If you're on Jeff's lawn right now, please get off it. No, okay, go ahead.
Have you noticed this is going on in our world now? Where I could say, Andy Baskin is a really nice young guy who does a terrific job on his radio show.
Thank you.
Instead, people are saying, Andy Baskin, nice young guy who does a good job on the radio show.
Well, that's a cadence issue.
Andy Baskin, nice young guy.
When you're emphasizing the comma, that counts for something. At least we know a comma's there.
But see, instead of making it a complete sentence, it's all phrases.
I was looking for a picture of this, and it was deleted.
Not where I'm looking.
Oh, never mind. I'll find it.
Check the four letter.
Oh, you can read it straight out on the four letter?
There it is, right there.
Wow.
Well, I see writing on it. I'm assuming that they're...
Oh, no, there was a good, really good picture of it that was someone had it on Reddit.
Okay. Mike Tomlin was unaware of that. Which is strange.
How could you be unaware of that?
Which is strange because he had an extra day to do it because his press conference wasn't until yesterday.
That's a gigantic
find. He also played Pickens only a career low 34 snaps on Sunday. But says he has no issue with him.
Again, I still don't understand why you would... Oh, here we go. Now I got another chance to see it.
Because language evolves, Andy.
Oh, okay.
Language evolves.
Wow. That is goofy.
Give me some advice for Deshaun Watson coming up against Philadelphia on Sunday.
Is there any chance that maybe he just said, I need a breathe right, and somebody else wrote that on there?
Yeah.
Got confused mistake. With another player?
That's not a breathe right.
You know, those equipment managers, they always get my curse words confused.
And that is not a breathe. No, it's just straight black
that's
tape.
That's the black tape.
Yeah, with
which, by the
silver.
Way, is much neater than the black grease. I don't know how you get that off.
Yeah, and then...
I mean, if they're looking
how do you not think you're going to aggravate...
If they're looking at Odell's shields, they're going to look at messages on black tape.
That's just...
Not smart.
Dumb. Yeah, it's just dumb.
It's not smart.
Yeah, that's... what do you think? $100,000? At least.
Yeah.
That's a $100,000 fine?
And the four-letter points out... in 2015, you might remember Cam Hayward was fined for writing Ironhead on his eye black in a tribute to his dad.
Yeah.
And that same week, D'Angelo Williams, who was with the Steelers then, was fined for wearing the eye black that said, find the cure, to honor his mom and his aunts who died from breast cancer.
What were they fined?
I don't know.
You're kidding. Like, what you're going to... Find
sometimes
someone.
The NFL just
that's
does
just
silly
stupid.
Things, don't they?
That's even dumber than him putting that on his face.
The NFL does silly things.
Why would you find someone who's paying tribute to a lost parent? That's
ridiculous. Who played in the NFL?
Yeah,
I don't know.
And then what was the other? The other one was for charity?
For breast cancer.
Oh, come on!
His mom and his aunts died of breast cancer?
Oh, ridiculous. The league should find themselves for being stupid.
What advice are you giving to Sean? Can you give him any advice?
Yeah, just here's what I would say to Deshaun. Look, it takes 11 guys to mess this thing up. Let's be honest. It's not all on him.
No, it's not.
He needs to get rid of the ball faster.
Bingo.
And there's got to be some kind of confidence with him and the wide receivers. And I don't know how you fix the offensive line in terms of him being better. It's just the offensive line just has to be better. I don't know that Deshaun can control that. He can make them look better by getting rid of the ball faster. That's true.
The thing about this to me, Andy, is this, and I think it's a fact, and I said it before the season. I don't think the skill position talent is overwhelmingly good on this team. I don't think it's bad.
Especially if Njoku's not at 100%. Well, I agree with that.
Yeah, and I think Amari is terrific. But, again, he's not CeeDee Lamb. He's not Jamar Chase. He's not Justin Jefferson. And Jerry Jeudy, I think, has played okay. And combine that fact, I think it's a fact, with the injured offensive line and the lack of commitment to the running game, it's put Deshaun in a bad spot. And I don't think he's done anything to help the situation. To me, this might be the most telling thing. In a league where, and though teams are starting to run the ball more, in a league that's still designed to favor the passing game, Deshaun hasn't thrown for more than 196 yards in a game.
All right, gentlemen, we now go to Berea this for year. Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy's Andy Baskin. My other buddy over here is Stevie Wonder-loving Dan Menigan. God bless him. I listen to Deshaun Watson press conferences, Andy, and whether they are early in the season, whether they are in preseason, certainly now, I think one thing.
Jeff, what is that one thing?
I think this, it shouldn't be this difficult. Every time I listen to Deshaun, I think it shouldn't be this difficult. And I think that from a football standpoint. It shouldn't be this difficult. The guy clearly showed early in his career that he was dang good. He was good. He was really good. And sitting out an entire season and then sitting out 11 games to start his Browns career, playing in six, coming back and playing in six, and then missing. I can't believe that has completely trashed his ability to play quarterback at the level he played it before. And that's the key. It's at the level he played it before because, Andy, he was really good in Houston. He really was. And I can't believe that time off trashed his ability to play it at that level anymore. And that's why I think every time I listen to Deshaun, it just shouldn't be this difficult.
I don't know. I mean, he's changed cities. He's had all of these lawsuits.
Kirk Cousins changed cities. He threw for 500 yards the other day. How'd that go?
It's not, Jeff,
and they brought Jeff, in, they drafted a guy in the first round.
Come on, man. This is about what's going on behind the scenes. Okay. There's no way that doesn't affect.
Is it? That's the question.
I would
here.
Hope.
Because, Andy, it shouldn't be this difficult. Why is it? Because he clearly isn't the same quarterback that he was in Houston. And I wonder if we'll ever see that guy again. Nothing that we've seen here on any kind of a consistent basis makes me think that we're ever going to see that guy here again. Man, I sure hope we do.
You know, I think all Browns fans are hoping that you will see some sort of player that was in Houston at one point, but there's just no way. Is he human? I mean, yes, if he's human, there's no way that everything that's happened to him off the field hasn't changed him in some way, shape, or form.
I couldn't agree with that more.
I'm not passing judgment on anything. I don't like the stories that have been told, but I wasn't there. He settled all these lawsuits, and the problem is the lawsuits in themselves.
I understand that. It shouldn't be this difficult. It's Baskin and Phelps on the Fan.